Welcome to day 363 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and I'm so happy that you've joined me on these last few days that we have left going through the Word of God this year. Today we are going to be reading chapters 6 through 11 from the book of Revelation. This is a very intense portion of the book of Revelation. We're going to hear about the opening of the seven sealed book and all the things that begin to happen during the great tribulation period that's going to come on the earth. We're going to hear about the introduction of the seven trumpets and the blowing of the seven trumpets. We're going to see that as each trumpet is blown, there are intense happenings on the earth. Trees become burned up. The seas become like blood. Fresh water becomes bitter. There's signs in the heavens with the sun and the moon and the stars. We're going to see plagues of locusts and then great earthquakes. So this portion of the book of Revelation is talking about future events that are going to come upon the earth, just as the angel told John when he first was being shown these things, that they were being given to him so that he might tell the servants of God about things that are to come. And these are all future events that are going to be coming upon the earth. So we are going to begin in our reading today in the New American Standard Bible, starting at Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Chapter 7. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who are clothed in the white robes, who are they, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "My Lord, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Chapter 8. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven, which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as a king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released, so that they would kill a third of mankind. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. Chapter 10. I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land, and he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them." Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it and the earth and the things in it and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and saying, "Go take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land." So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, "Take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey." I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, "You must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." Chapter 11. Then there was given me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, "Get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Leave out the court which is outside of the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations, and they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out of their mouth and devours their enemies. So if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. These have the power to shut up the sky so that rain will not fall during the days of their prophesying, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they desire. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were watching them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." Then they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. And in that hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. This is the end of today's scripture reading. What we have heard in today's reading is very intense description, symbolic pictures of what's going to take place in the end times as the world is coming to the fulfillment of the ages, the end of the ages, as the scripture tells us, just before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. When we opened here in chapter 6 of Revelation, we saw that John the Revelator looked, and behold, he saw a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, what would that represent? Well, first of all, let me remind you of a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. And it's recorded in Matthew chapter 24. You may remember that the disciples heard Jesus say that their day was coming when the temple buildings were all going to be destroyed and torn down, and not one stone would be left upon another. And then when they got up to the Mount of Olives, they asked him privately, "When are these things going to happen? And what's the sign of your coming and the signs of the end of the age?" And I believe that what we just heard in chapter 6 and 7 and onward are the very signs of the end of the age. But there's something that Jesus tells the disciples there in Matthew 24 that applies to what we just read. He said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes, which we heard about both as we read through Revelation. But he also added, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Even in our day-to-day, we are seeing famines, we are seeing earthquakes, we're seeing all sorts of natural phenomenon which would be able to be classified in some of the things that Jesus said about the end times and much of what we read about even in Revelation. But he said that's just the beginning of birth pangs. So it wasn't near the end, it's the beginning. But then he also said something very interesting. He said to the disciples something that would be a clue as to when the end was just getting close to coming. He said in verse 14 of Matthew 23, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, I believe that the white horse and the rider here represent that going out of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Because consider this, white always represents purity, holiness, and divine beings often in the Bible. And it says here in Revelation 6, I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. We don't see anything negative in this description, but to me it represents the conquering of the gospel going throughout the whole earth. And Jesus said that would be the sign that the end was about to come. And then after this white horse and the rider go out conquering the whole earth, then after that, the intense trouble begins. And we see that the very next horse was a red horse, and the one who sat on it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. So the first horse, the white horse and the rider with the crown, went out to conquer the earth. So you could imagine the whole earth now has been covered with the gospel being preached to all of it. And then after that, the end begins. And these very negative and intense tribulation period starts. The red horse, the rider who's been given the assignment of taking peace from the earth. So war begins. Men start killing one another. And a great sword was given to him. And then when the third seal was broken, a black horse appeared, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And then this one was given the assignment of affecting the food in the earth and the availability of food. So famine begins. A quart of wheat for a denarius, that's like paying a day's wages for one quart of wheat, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. So we see that there's going to be an impact on the food supply, not total devastation, but a negative impact on the food supply. Food begins to become very scarce. Then the fourth seal is broken, and the next horse is one of ashen color, representing death. He who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following him. So hell, the place of the dead, was following to collect everybody who was killed by this ashen horse and rider named Death. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts. So people were going to die. In fact, a fourth of the entire population of the world was going to be killed either through violence of possibly war with the sword, famine, lack of food, pestilence, crazy plagues and sickness that goes around the earth killing people, whether it's a cholera epidemic or some other type of epidemic, and then also by wild beasts on the earth. And then it continues to get more and more intense as the tribulations that are coming on the earth intensify. It is truly showing us that the end times are going to be a very difficult period for anyone who's alive during that season of time. Because the very next thing that we see when the fifth seal is broken is that we see the revealing of these people who had been martyred. It says, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God. So we're talking about martyrs, people who are killed for their Christian faith and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And those martyrs that John saw underneath the altar of God were asking the Lord, how long is it going to be before you avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And they were told, after they were given a white robe, they were told to rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants who were to be killed as they had been would be completed. So martyrdom was going to be widespread in the earth and the end times during the tribulation period, people being killed for their Christian faith. Then the next thing that happens when the Lamb breaks the sixth seal is there is a tremendous earthquake. And then, along with the earthquake, we see signs in the heavens that are going to be very intense. The sun becomes black, the whole moon becomes like blood, and the stars of the sky fall to the earth. Now think about this. What's being described here is like a total solar eclipse with a blood moon. The sun becomes black and the whole moon becomes like blood. Jesus himself had said in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, he says, in those days the sun shall be darkened, which speaks of an eclipse, and the moon shall not give its light, again speaking of an eclipse, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So Jesus told his disciples there's going to be signs in the heavens, in the sky, that are signs of the end of the age and also of his return to the earth. This same idea was spoken of by Joel the prophet back in Joel 2, 30 and 31. Listen to this prophecy that speaks about the coming of the Lord. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of Jehovah. Acts 2:20 recounts that same theme. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord. I'm emphasizing this particular part of Revelation about the signs in the sky because there are some very fascinating historical references to this type of an eclipse with a blood moon that have occurred over history and are scheduled for the same type of appearance in 2014 and in 2015. Listen to this. Genesis 1:14 is where God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So when God originally created the sun and the moon and the stars, these lights in the firmament of the heaven, he said, let them be for signs. Then if you look throughout history, you can discover that God had so aligned the appearance of these certain types of eclipses that had a blood moon involved so that they fell on particular Jewish feast days. And the interesting thing is that these blood moon lunar eclipses have occurred only 7 times back to back in back to back years, meaning that 2 consecutive years there would be these blood moon eclipses occurring where they actually showed up on the first day of Passover, the great Jewish feast, and on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Back to back years, so 2 years close to each other. This happened 7 times since AD 1, the year of Christ's birth, only 7 times. The 8th time where there will be back to back years will be next year, 2014 and 2015. Where these blood moon eclipses will fall on the first day of Passover and the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. This may sound just not very interesting to you, but if you look at the actual years when those blood moon eclipses occurred, they fell on these Jewish feast days, they always had to do with significant events that occurred with Israel or with the Jewish people. One of the occurrences, one of these 7 occurrences since the birth of Christ, was an occurrence during 1492. It was the year Christopher Columbus discovered America, but it was also the year when the Jews were expelled from Spain by Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand. All Jews were told to leave the nation. So there was this tremendous exodus of over 200,000 Jews from the nation of Spain, where they had been living for years in peace and safety, and they were expelled from the country. Then the next significant one was in 1948-49, which was when the statehood for Israel became a reality. Then the next one, the next year that this occurred with this blood moon on falling on Passover and on the Feast of Tabernacles, was in 1967 when the Six-Day War occurred in Israel and Israel recovered or recaptured Jerusalem, and Jerusalem became the capital for the nation of Israel. So there were these very significant events that affected the people of Israel, the Jewish people, God's chosen people, when these blood moon lunar eclipses occurred. The next one is in April of 2014 on the first day of Pentecost. Something significant is going to happen. The Bible speaks of the moon turning into blood, and when that happens, something significant occurs in the earth that affects God's people. This was prophesied by Joel. This is prophesied in Acts. This is prophesied in Revelation, talking about the significance of these signs or wonders in the heavens. I believe that there will be some significant of historical event occurring that affects Israel and the people of God, and these end time events that are coming to pass. And the next one in 2014, and then the following year, 2015, where these lunar eclipse with a blood moon will appear again, first day of Pentecost, first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Something is happening. We are getting closer and closer to the end times. Will it be the return of Christ? Because that's one of the signs that it will occur before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, or some other significant thing that will affect the Jewish people, Israel, and God's people all over the earth. We don't know, but we need to realize that the Bible speaks about future events, and we are living in a time when these end time events are starting to take place, and we need to take these things seriously prepare our hearts, pray for the nation of Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the Lord's return and for people's hearts to be open to the Lord before He returns and before these end times and tribulation days begin to commence. God's word is true and His word always comes to pass. And I believe we're living in the day when we will see many of the things that are prophesied in the book of Revelation begin to take place. So it's important not to be spiritually lazy or to become lax about your prayer life and your prayer for people who are unsaved and don't know the Lord. It's a very important time to pray for people to come to the Lord, to give their hearts to Christ, and to pray also for the people of Israel that they will turn to the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and they will become ones who embrace Him as their Messiah. This is an important time, and studying the book of Revelation is very powerful because it makes us realize how close the appearing of the Lord really is. God bless you and give you a victorious week.